Now, I might be stretching the definition of a cult movie to breaking point with this one. After all, Never Say Never Again is a James Bond movie. It stars Sean Connery. It has a healthy budget. And it was reasonably successful at the box office. But it's also a bit of a forgotten film, especially in regards to mainstream discussions about James Bond. And the reasons for this largely are to do with the fact that it's an unofficial James Bond film. It's not part of the more famous Eon-produced series. And in fact, there was another James Bond film released the same year, Octopussy, which it has to be said is superior. Never Say Never Again is one of three unofficial James Bond movies. The first is live television adaptation of Casino Royale from 1954. The second was another version of Casino Royale, the kind of madcap comedy from 1967, before Eon had the rights to that novel. And then Never Say Never Again, which came out in 1983 and was based on the story of Thunderball. Now, I'm not going to go into the reasons as to why Never Say Never Again exists. It is to do with a lot of legal disputes that date back to the 1960s. If you're interested in all that, if you're interested in how Connery came back to playing the role after a 12-year break, there are plenty of books on the subject, there are articles on the subject, and there are lots of YouTube videos that deal with this as well. So go and research those yourself. Also, Never Say Never Again is not generally highly regarded by anyone, especially not James Bond fans. And for these reasons, I think it falls into the category of a cult movie. It's as close to being a cult film as a James Bond film is possible to be. Now, I recognise all the drawbacks to Never Say Never Again. There are lots of things wrong with it and lots of things that are disappointing. But there are also many, many elements that I actually really enjoy and that I want to go into here. And if you revisit the film, you might want to do so with some of these things in mind. Now, the first thing to say is Sean Connery is back in the role and he's fantastic here. It has to be said, his wardrobe is a complete disgrace. At one point, he's wearing denim dungarees. And another, he's wearing a weird grey tracksuit. But also, his wardrobe is one of the perverse joys of the film. But other than that, he's very fit. In fact, far fitter than he was when he was in Diamonds Are Forever 12 years previously. He's light on his feet. He's very, very funny. He looks like he's having a good time. And it's one of his best performances. Certainly, I think, better than Diamonds Are Forever and You Only Live Twice. Barbara Carrera plays Fatima Blush, who is one of the best female villains of the series. She plays it very over the top, very sadistic, very sexy. And she's a real highlight. And after she gets killed, the film does take a bit of a downturn. The character of Felix Leiter is played by Bernie Casey, and he's another one of the film's highlights. The Felix character has a kind of problematic history in James Bond. Some of the depictions of him have been quite weak, but in this one, I think he's a really good representation of Felix. He's very relaxed, he's very laid back, he's a really good foil for Connery's version of Bond. The script is written by Lorenzo Semple Jr., who wrote the 1960s Batman series. So as you can imagine, it's very witty and very playful. But also, there were some uncredited rewrites by Dick Clement and Ian Lefrenet, the British sitcom writers who wrote the British sitcom Porridge. And apparently Sean Connery was a fan of Porridge and got them on board to revamp the screenplay. And there are actually two gags that come from Porridge in the film. An early one where Bond is in Shrublands, a health farm, trying to get fit again. And another later when they're escaping from the French police, which is taken directly from the Porridge movie. It's strange how the popular perception of Roger Moore's performances in the role are that they are closer to parody than spy thrillers. But really, Never Say Never Again is far sillier than what Roger Moore was doing around this time. For Your Eyes Only, which he made 2 years previously, is largely thought of as a return to the kind of grittier spy fiction of the early 60s Bond. And while Octopussy is an over-the-top movie that was made the same year as Never Say Never Again, and it's very exotic and it has its fair share of silliness, it also has some really serious scenes too. It also contains some really tense action sequences that are grounded and down to earth. Whereas Never Say Never Again and the previous Bond film that Connery had made, Diamonds Are Forever, are really out-and-out comedies more than they are action thrillers. The action scenes in this film are quite pedestrian, but there are a couple of moments that really, really work. Firstly, The opening sequence where Bond is on a training exercise is a good bit of action. It is slightly diluted by the fact that it has the theme song Never Say Never Again playing over most of it. And I've actually seen a cut on YouTube where someone has edited out the music and replaced it with natural sounds, and it works far, far better. And I did read somewhere that originally this sequence was going to be without the music and was going to have a ticking clock playing while the action takes place, which would have been far better. Nevertheless, it's still one of the highlights of the film. But the really great bit of action is the underwater sequences with the sharks. And I've got no idea how they did this, but it amazes me every single time. I've no doubt that in some cases, particularly the close-ups, the shark may well have been dead. But for most of it, these are real live sharks, very close to the crew, very close to the cast, very close to the stunt performers. Like I said, I don't know how they do this. It's probably very simple. There's probably a really easy way that they create these sequences, but they impress me every single time. However they did it, it looks highly dangerous. There's also a really fun scene where Bond and the villain Largo play a 3D computer game against each other, where the loser gets electric shocks delivered through their joystick. It's very dated now, but again, one of the film's best bits. Never Say Never Again, as I've said, doesn't have a great reputation. But it's far from bad, and I see it as a bonus Bond film that I can revisit now and again and enjoy quite happily. If I was to rank the film alongside the Eon-produced series, I would put it at about 18th or 19th out of 25. So above a good 4 or 5 of the official series. Certainly above things like Spectre, Man with the Golden Gun, probably above GoldenEye for me, although that might well be a controversial point to make. So if you haven't seen Never Say Never Again, or you hated it the first time round, it's worth giving it another viewing, if only to try and identify the good moments that do exist. So, I consider it a cult movie. I like it. Never Say Never Again. Thank you very much. The Newton Talks Cult Film Microcast will return.